So as we are reading through the Old Testament, we're at Jonah. You know, and I love the story of Jonah. I've preached through Jonah probably two different times in the history of this church. And I've always wondered, you know, like if Jonah had a theme song, you know, like if he had his walkout music, you know, what would it be for Jonah? I think it might be this. What do you think? Don't you think, I mean, don't you think, if you've read the story of Jonah, don't you think that is the perfect theme song, the walkout song for Jonah? Because Jonah, we're going to look at, he did not want to follow God. He didn't want to do God's plan. And God said, oh, well, yes, you will. You're gonna do my plan. And he went and got him and found him in a very unusual way. So this morning, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. We're going to look at the story here and begin with chapter 1. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word. I'm going to read Jonah chapter 1, starting with verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, a heart that would be obedient to you. Lord, help us not run from you, but run to you. Help us to obey the mission that you have placed on our life, Lord, that we may fulfill the calling of glorifying you and honoring you in all that we do. So Lord, help us. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we read the book of Jonah, we read a story of a prophet of God who was sent out to preach against a Gentile nation. This is different. This is unusual. What we've been seeing is God raising up his own prophets to preach to the people of God to declare his judgment. And so we've been looking at how they have been proclaiming God's wrath upon the northern tribe of Israel, how the prophets have been proclaiming the wrath of God on the southern tribe of Judah. But this is God sending a man to a Gentile nation and going to preach a judgment prophecy to them. And he's going to preach the wrath and judgment of God. Now, you would think that Jonah might be excited about that because he's going to preach that God's going to bring his wrath upon this people. Well, who is this people? This is the city of Nineveh. They are Assyrians. Now, the Assyrians make up what would be today the northern part of Iraq, and Assyria covered parts of the north Iraq, northern Iran, Lebanon, and modern-day Turkey, up in the Fertile Crescent area of the Mesopotamia. And they were an evil, wicked people. They were fearless. They were war people. They would execute their prisoners and their captives in very aggressive ways. Historians say that they would cut the lips off of their victims and cut their hands off. They would flay people alive and watch them die. They would cut their heads off, and then as their flesh would rot, as they'd stick it on a pole outside the gates, then they would stack the skulls at the city gates to let anyone know that they need to be careful when they enter their territory. They were a very vicious group. They were the Hamas of Jonah's day. You know, we see what's going on over in Israel and the attack upon Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, who has declared war against Hamas. Iran has thrown in their hat of agreement of what has happened, and so they're currently at war, and we don't know how far extensive this is going to impact the Middle East or even to us, but it's going on. And to try to capture Jonah's desire to flee, we have to understand a couple things. Number one, Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach a judgment prophecy. And prophecy judgment is this. When you preach a prophetic judgment, it is, this is what God is going to do. He's going to pour out his wrath upon you unless you repent of your sin and turn to him. And if you repent of your sin and turn to him, then though your sins are many, his mercy is more. And he is going to forgive you. See, Jonah knew that. Jonah knew that if he were to go to Nineveh and preach the judgment and wrath of God, if they were to repent of their sin, then God's mercy would fall upon them. And to be quite honest, Jonah didn't want them to receive God's mercy. To put it in a way that we can feel what Jonah felt, for those who experienced the World War II era, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, there were many Americans that had just a deep hatred and anger for the Japanese people. And many of our men were brought into the war because of that event and then had to go fight and give their lives up. And many mothers lost their sons and wives lost their husbands because of this. And it created an anger of they need to pay for what they've done. And they don't need to receive mercy. They need to receive the wrath. To put it in my generation context, I remember watching the planes fly into the Twin Towers. And just a side note, all of you young people, all of these YouTube videos, they try to put all these conspiracy theories about what happened that day. Let me tell you, real men and women lost their lives on those planes. And it was a real attack on our country. And we really felt the weight of that. And many of our men and women volunteered to go into service after that event and give their lives up because, you know, what was in most of our hearts, if we're truly being honest, was they need to pay for what they've done. We weren't thinking, let's send a revival team over there to preach the gospel and maybe the nation get saved. No, we were thinking the wrath needs to happen upon this nation, this people. This was Jonah. He didn't like the Assyrians. The Assyrians are the ones who are going to attack the northern tribe of Israel and wipe out the 10 tribes. These are mean, evil people. They don't deserve God's mercy. Jonah may feel like, I deserve God's mercy. I'm one of God's people. I'm one of his chosen people. I'm part of Israel, but not them. We have to always be careful that we never let the attitude of Jonah get into our heart to where we say, we want to experience the love and the mercy of God, but not those people. Not them. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve God's mercy. Their sins are many. Oh, but we have to realize our sins are many. But his mercy is what? More. And so Jonah is given assignment to go preach to the Syrian people in the city of Nineveh, and Jonah wasn't having it. God clearly communicated his mission. I want you to go, arise, go to Nineveh and proclaim what I'm going to tell you to proclaim. And the Bible tells us that he arose and he boarded a ship and he went to Tarshish. He did an excellent job of taking a 500-mile journey and turning it into a 2,000-mile journey. That's how bad he wanted to get away from running from God's mission and purpose and call for his life. He wanted to get as far away as possible. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning running from the call of God, running from God's purpose for your life, running for the mission that he has sent you on. I wonder if there's anybody this morning that God is calling and telling and asking you to follow him, but in your stubbornness, you stub up and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. I wonder if there's anyone here that's dealing with unforgiveness, when God says forgive. You say, I'm not going to forgive. God says to release that anger, to release that bitterness. And you say, no, I'm not going to release that because they don't deserve your mercy, God. They don't deserve your forgiveness. I want them to feel the pain they've caused me. I want them to hurt. I don't want them to experience your grace. I'm not following. And so he gets on a ship, goes down to the bottom, and goes to sleep. And while he's asleep, God sends a storm. And the storm starts rocking that boat. That boat starts rocking. And the guys on there, they're not Hebrews either. They're from different parts, and they're traveling. And then, in the ancient culture, it was more of a territorial god. So whatever territory you lived in, you had a certain god that was supposed to watch over you. So they all start praying to their gods, and nothing. They said, well, maybe we need to throw over some of the cargo. They start pitching over the cargo because they're going to try to make the ship lighter, and nothing happens. And then they look around like, where's that Jonah guy that we picked up? And he's down at the bottom of the boat asleep. And they come down the bottom. They go, hey, what are you doing? Wake up, sleeper. Isn't it interesting how sometimes our disobedience causes a storm in other people's lives? Sometimes our disobedience has an impact not just on ourselves, but on those around us. And many times when people are in their rebellion and their hard-heartedness and running and being defiant against God, they're oblivious to all of the harm that they are doing around them. There's people running from God, and they're destroying the hearts of their parents or of their spouse. There's people running from God, disobeying God, that's destroying relationships of people that really love them and care about them, but they're oblivious, they're asleep. Jonah, he's causing a lot of chaos upon these men's lives, putting their life in danger. What's he doing? He's sitting there asleep. They wake him up. What are you doing, sleeper? Wake up. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Who's your God? They start quizzing him and asking him all these questions. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. He didn't really seem like he feared the Lord, did he? Because he wasn't obeying. He says that They cast lots and the lots fell on Jonah. Jonah could not escape. His sin was finding him out. And they were like, what do we do? What do we do to stop the raging storm? And Jonah, still in his stubbornness, in his refusal to obey the Lord, he says, you're going to have to throw me overboard. Nah, I'm just going to have to die. You know, you're at a real low in life when you get in such a stubborn, hard-hearted way, running from the call of God on your life, running for the purpose that God has created you, to where you wish you would rather die than live. I don't know if there's anyone here who experience such a depression that you feel like your life is over, it's not worth living, it's just, it would be better off if I were just to die. Can I tell you, that's not the answer. God's got a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He created you. He loved you. He wants you to know him and to follow him and to enjoy all of his blessings that he wants to give to you. God's got a purpose for your life, amen? Jonah's refusing to heed and hear the call of God. And they're like, we don't want to do that. Even these pagans are like, we can't throw you overboard. You know, you're going to die. It's going to be blood on our hands. So they're trying their best to do everything, but it won't work. And Jonah says, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And so they're like, well, let it be known, you know, to your God that this is what you wanted us to do. And, you know, we're innocent. We haven't done anything. God of Jonah, don't hold this against us. They pick him up. Tossing overboard, and the storm ceases. Then it says that these men made a sacrifice and called unto the Lord Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And their lives were changed forever that day. And oh, Jonah, there he goes. Into the ocean. Now, when you think you're about to die, what's a good thing to do? Pray. You know. And Jonah got tossed overboard. He's about to die. And maybe he begins to think that wasn't such a good idea. And he begins to pray. Well, God, he was taking care of Jonah. And it tells us there in verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Here he was, the moment he got tossed into that water and he started sinking down to the bottom of the floor, God appointed a whale to come and just swoop him and swallow him right up. Now they say that certain species of whales can be up to as big as 2.5 school buses. And a certain species of whale can swallow 2 humans at the same time. And so here he gets swallowed by this great fish. We don't know if it's a whale, it's a great fish. It's a divinely appointed fish that God had made, because the whale wasn't punishment, it was mercy. Because he would have died. I wonder if there's anybody that's been swallowed up by a whale where you're going to get a second chance, where your sins, though they're many, his mercy is what? More. Thank God for second chances. Amen. Any of y'all ever need a second chance? Anybody need a third chance? A fourth chance. I just keep, needing. My sins are many, but his mercy is more. And here he goes, tumbling down, and this is his prayer. Hear his cry. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Aren't you glad for when God takes you from the pit and he raises you up? Anybody been down to the bottom of life and God raised you up and say, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm not done with you yet. You've got a purpose. You've got a plan. I've got a plan, and I have my mercy upon you. And so he brings his life up. He's rejoicing. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. When I was about to die, when I thought it was all over, when I thought life wasn't worth living, I remembered you, Lord, and I cried out to you, and you heard me. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. You know what Jonah realized? That God was right and he was wrong. Boy, it's a life-changing revelation right there, isn't it? When you realize God is right, I'm wrong. There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, the Bible says, it leads to death. Our way leads to death. God's way leads to life. You know, Jonah could have avoided a lot of pain there if he had just done what the first time? Just listened and obeyed. You know what we need to do? When God speaks to us, when God tells us something through his word, when God gives us a command to follow, guess what we should do? Obey. I will obey. How many times have you looked back over your life and you said, boy, I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and a lot of pain if I had just obeyed? Thank God for his second and third chances, but boy, there's some things in our life we can do that can really make it harder, right? We can learn two ways. I've taught my kids this since they've been little. You can learn two ways. You can learn through the mistakes of others, or you can learn through your own mistakes, right? Now, if you learn from the mistakes of others, you can avoid some of the pitfalls in life and save yourself from a lot of heartache and pain. Can I get an amen from anybody? Or you can be stubborn and hard-headed and like Jonah and refuse to listen the first time and retake the class. Anybody have to retake a class? Huh? Anybody ever flunk a class in college and have to retake the class again? Anybody? You know, if you would have just done what the first time, just listened and studied and done it, you wouldn't have had to take the class again. But here he is, Jonah, he's having to take this class again. Here's what we need to understand. There is consequences for every choice we make. Right? Now, here's the great thing about God's salvation. Our sins, though they are many, his mercy is what? His mercy is more. He will save us from all of our sin and all of our foolishness. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for his mercy. However, the choices of the consequences of the choices that we make can follow us many years down the road, even though his mercy has been applied. So we need to be careful. When God calls, what should we do? Obey. Well, the fish is the deliverance for Jonah. And it says there in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up out upon the dry land. And so here he gets to go back and try it a second time. Now look what God says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. Same assignment, different perspective, right? Jonah's perspective changed. This time, he was going to what? He's going to obey, okay? And he goes, verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's a judgment. God's going to bring his wrath upon you in 40 days. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Okay, so Jonah goes in and says, God's judgment's coming upon you. This wicked and evil nation, God's wrath's coming on you. And the people hear it and they're like, we don't want that. And so they began to call for a fast. The king issues an edict and says, every single person is going to fast for these next 40 days. We're going to put on ash and sackcloth. We're going to show that we are repentant, and not only us, but the animals. He even gets the animals involved, that every single living creature is going to fast these 40 days, and they say, maybe God will relent and not bring his wrath upon us. So the people hear what Jonah's saying. They respond. They know their sins are many, but they're hoping that God's mercy is what? More. In verse 10, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The whole city responded by faith and had a massive revival. Amen? I mean, now most pastors would be excited about that, right? I mean, Pastor John would be taking pictures of this thing, and we'd be blowing up social media saying, look what happened. I mean, a lot of pastors, they'd want to put this on their resume, right? Went to the wicked city of Nineveh. The whole city got saved. Now on to my next preaching tour, right? I mean, this would be a preacher's dream. He goes in there, preaches, they respond, revival, God's mercy, and woo, praise God. You'd think Jonah would be excited, be shouting. Bill, he might even shout a glory, you know? But you know what happened? He wasn't happy. Verse chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. As the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? What's going on with you, Jonah? I mean, look at where Jonah's at. He said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Their sins were many, but your mercy was more. And I knew that if they relented and repented of their sin and called out to you, you'd be gracious because you're a gracious God. I didn't want them to receive your mercy. I wanted them to receive your wrath. They didn't deserve God's grace. The gospel goes to all nations. All nations. We have to pray for Israel. I believe we're to pray for Israel. I believe that as this war escalates, there's going to be a lot of people lose their lives. However, we also need to pray for those Christians who are going to be caught in the middle of this war. Because we've got Christians who live in Israel, and we also have Christians who live in Iraq and Iran. There are believers in Jesus in some of these hostile nations, these Islamic nations, who quite frankly hate Israel. They teach their children in the maps, Israel's not even included as a nation. They call Israel big Satan and America little Satan. Some of these Islamic heavy terrorist nations, and they hate Israel and they hate America. But even among these nations that has that kind of hatred, the gospel still needs to be preached and proclaimed to all nations. And there are believers there that are being persecuted even now to this day for their faith in Jesus. We must pray. Jonah, he got to the point again where he said, I just wish I would die. His heart was so hardened for the other peoples around him that he couldn't have compassion on those around him. He goes up on the hill. Puckers his lip and sits and watch. Well, maybe he'll really bring down the fire. Maybe he really will judge this people. And he sits there and he's missing it. He's missing it. He's missing a move of God. Don't miss it, church. I do believe that we're seeing an awakening in our young people across our nation, in the state of Kentucky, and also our whole nation. I think there is a generation that God is starting to stir and move in that says, you know what? Enough is enough. We're ready to be people who seek God. We want to pursue Him. We want to surrender to Him. We want to live a life of obedience to Him. We want to surrender to Him. Don't miss it, parents, because guess what? He just doesn't want to do it in our youth. He wants to do it among you. I'm afraid we have people missing it. I'm afraid we have pastors missing it. Pastors who are like Jonah, sitting there with their arms crossed and their lips puckered out, saying, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is a true move of God. It doesn't fit my denominational box. And they're missing it. God's stirring. He's moving. Listen. Follow. Surrender. Parents, if you've got children in our children's church, and if you've got kids in the age range of our kids' current on Wednesday nights, don't miss it. If you're not helping to volunteer and teach in children's church, you're missing it. Be a part of it. Be a part of the process. One of the beauties of what happened when this church first started was that if you had a kid in children's church, guess what you were expected to be a part of? Children's church. And you know what that allowed parents to do? That allowed parents to get involved in their own kids learning about the faith. And when you began teaching little kids, kindergartners, third graders about Jesus, and you're studying your lessons on a kindergarten and third grade level, guess what that helps you do, adults? Learn it. Because if you can communicate it to a third grader or a kindergartner, guess who you can communicate the gospel to? Us adults. Don't spend all your time on the court and the fields. Make sure you're at least investing in them spiritually. Don't miss it. Be a part of it. Stir the flames. Stir the fire. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Amen. Be able to celebrate what God is doing. Let the Holy Spirit work in you, mom, dad, grandfather, grandmother, Get around, get involved. What's God doing? I want to be a part of it. I don't want to sit there and be all soured up and miss what God's doing. No, I want to receive what God is doing. I want to recognize that our sins are many, but his what? Mercy is more. Jonah should have been, oh, the city of Nineveh, their sins were many, but God's grace is more. Look at what he's done. But he didn't, he pouted. He's up there pouting. God causes a plant to grow to give him some shade on his bald head. He gets happy about that. Oh, he's happy. He's got some shade. The next morning, God appoints a worm to eat the plant, and the plant dies. And then the sun beats down on old Jonah's head, and he blows a wind, a scorching east wind. And he's hot, and he's miserable. And guess what old Jonah says? Lord, just kill me. It's better off I just die. And God, let me give you the Pastor Grant translation of it. God's like, what are you doing, Jonah? What's wrong with you? What's your problem? Why can't you rejoice in the mercy that I have showed this people? I've given mercy to you. I've been kind to you. I've been gracious to you. Why can't you see that your sins were many, but my mercy was more? Why can't you see that their sins were many, but my mercy is more? And he says to Jonah there, and the Lord said, verse 10, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? And he leaves it with an open-ended question. Some people feel like the story is incomplete. This is not the correct ending, that there's got to be more to this. And I think it's very complete, and I think it's perfect, because he leaves it as an open-ended question, as if to ask us, Jonah, you didn't plant that. You didn't tend to it. I caused it to grow up, and then it went away. But yet, these people in Nineveh, they're created in my image. Yeah, they're a Gentile nation, but my love goes out to the world, not just to you. Can you not be compassionate to them? As we think about God's mercy, man, it should be our heart's desire to want to see other people come to faith, to preach it to the nations. Jesus, when he was ministering, the Pharisees and scribes that came to him, they said, show us a sign, show us a sign. We want to know that you're really from God. Jesus says, this evil and adulterous generation, you seek for a sign, but the only sign you're going to receive is this. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He tells them, to that group of people, he says, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus, his desire is to save the lost. Jesus said, the kingdom of God will be compared to this. There was a certain man. He owed 10,000 talents, and it was time to pay up. And the master came and said, you owe me this large sum of money. He says, I can't pay it. He said, well, I'm going to take your wife and your children. They can serve me, and they can be my servant, and they can pay off the debt that way. He says, no, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And the man shows mercy upon this man, and he forgives him of all of his debt, the large sum of money. And then that person who had been forgiven, he has a guy that owes him a denarius, a very, very small amount of money. And he goes up to that man and he says, you owe me a denarius, pay it. He says, I don't have the money, I can't pay it. And he begins to beat him and he begins to throw him on the ground, and someone observes and goes to the guy and he says, did you not forgive this man who owed a large sum of money? He said, yes, I did. He said, well, he's over here beating a man that owes him just a very small amount of money. And the master comes back and he says, you wicked servant. And he takes him and throws him in jail. He says, I forgave you of so much money, and yet here you are treating this guy who just owes you a very small amount of money this way. Man, we love for God to forgive us. But boy, how hard-hearted we get sometimes when we don't think God should forgive them. God says, forgive that person. Yeah, but God, they done me harm. They hurt me. You don't know what they did to me. He says, forgive them. Your sin was many, but my mercy is more. God, I can't get rid of this bitterness, this anger. He says, release it. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that is holding something in your heart that is causing you to become hard towards someone else. But don't be like Jonah and harbor that to where you can't release it. No, forgive. There was a man, he had two sons. And the younger son said to the father, Father, give me my inheritance now. And he took it and he wasted it on riotous living. And we had spent all he had. He found himself eating in a pig's pen, the lowest of low for a Jewish boy. And he begins to come to himself and he says, how many of my father's servants have more food and better food than I have? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a servant in your house. And the Bible says, as the father saw his son from a far distance, he ran to him and he kissed him and he put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and sandals on his feet. And he said, come in and let's kill the fattened calf. Let's play some music. Let's dance. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate, for my son was dead, but now he's alive. And the older brother heard the dancing. He heard the music. And he sat outside the house with his lip all puckered up. Mad at his father. How dare he? He was like Jonah. Like some old disgruntled church member, a Baptist that didn't get his way at the business meeting. He's all puckered up. And so the father comes out and says, son, What are you doing? Why aren't you in here celebrating? He said, I've been with you my whole life and I've not once disobeyed you. But here this son of yours, he goes out and takes his inheritance and he wastes everything. And you throw him a party. He says, son, you don't understand. Your brother, he was dead, but he's now alive. We have to rejoice. Oh, may we never have a heart that becomes so self-consumed that we expect God's mercy for us, but yet then want to deny it to other people. We should be people of grace, people of mercy, people of the gospel, people of obedience, people who say, I'm going to share the good news with all of the broken people that are around me. They don't know, but I know God has a merciful spirit and he wants to renew them and restore them and remake them. People begin to ask about what you think about what's going on in this world. I think that there's a lot of brokenness and there's a lot of sin. And yeah, people get themselves sometimes in a great depth of sin. And maybe you have gotten yourself in a great depth of sin. But though our sin is many, his mercy is more. Would you receive his mercy today? And would you proclaim his mercy? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be obedient to you. Lord, to help us to realize the weight of our own sin and your grace and your mercy in which you have forgiven us. And Lord, may we be gracious to those around us. And Lord, may we be people who go and share and tell people about the mercy of God. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to receive your grace, would you speak to their heart and may they respond? Lord, if someone needs to release a burden, an anger, bitterness, an unforgiving spirit, hatred, whatever it might be, would they lay it down today and enjoy your grace? For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.